And the thought of being able to preach in front of the community of faith that I call my faith home is a bigger privilege, even so. So I said yes, and then I looked up the text for today, and I went, Lord, have mercy. It is common for me to preach around the valley during the summer, and somehow all those clergy managed to find a way to be out of town when some of these texts come along. Am I correct, Artie? Yes. Thank goodness this is the first of what will seem like an endless series of bread texts. So I get the fresh bread, and that's fun. But you know, there is also a privilege that goes with preaching, and that is to say, that gospel's nice, but I'm going to focus elsewhere. So, as I read and I studied, they all, and not by accident, that all the texts go together beautifully. But when you have a lay person preaching in front of the congregation, it seems to me that Ephesians text just screams, here, come here. So that's what I've done. I have read from that, and that is where I intend to share. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he's calling on this new baby of a church, this tiny toddler of a church, to pull it together, to understand what it's all about to be people of God. Understand that it is unity and diversity in the same breath, one not outweighing the other. We are called to be together, as Pam read this morning, because of our common bond in Christ Jesus. That is what pulls us together. What makes us different is Christ Jesus. God and the Holy Spirit working through us to bless us in different ways with different gifts. So it's both and. I don't know if you're comfortable with the concept of both and. In my life, there have been times when I really prefer black and white. I like the difference, the clear-cut difference of right and wrong. Gray, I don't even like it in my hair. You know, why would I stand for it in my thought process? I want it clear-cut. But the truth is, we have to deal with it on a much more complex level. Now, some of our brethren in the Christian church have done some things which, in my humble opinion, take Scripture in a direction it was never intended to go. The worst case scenario has to be the Westboro Baptist Church and the idiocy of thinking that you find in Scripture justification to praise God for the killing of a soldier. I mean, how heinous. But, you know, we can back up from that and say there are others a little less obviously extreme that we kind of get a little nervous around. They claim to be Christians, but they don't seem to believe like we do. A couple weeks ago, I worshiped in a Missouri Synod Lutheran church, and when it was time to take communion, you know what I had to do? Sit. Because I had not been pre-authorized to commune. They are close brothers and sisters of ours, but yet they find a reason for that difference in the Scripture and in the words of the organizing principles of their faith. We can find difference all over the place, but what strikes me as completely absurd is that we don't believe that difference has power, has God-given power. Long time ago, when we were building this church, I was on the, I was president of the congregation. Tom Walton was there, and Lee Landon was chairman of the building committee. Lee and I are a little different in our approach to things. I've never built a building. Lee can't even keep track of the number of buildings he's built in his life. So when it came time to build a building, who were you going to have be in charge of building the building? Me that had never done it? Or Lee that had done it so many times he can't even remember? We were going to have Lee do it, right? But because we valued diversity, we staple gunned me to Lee's hip so that we could always be together on it all. We worked together. His gifts different than my gifts. And look what you have surrounding you. A place of beauty, a place of spirit, a place of grace, a place people can call their faith home. It was because of all of us, with our differences, working together. So it is in the church, not just in the gifts we are given for our vocational work, our work in the world. We have a vocation. This is a godly calling. It isn't just the job you do, but your vocation must be present in the job you do. Luther thought that vocation was so critical for us that he called it one of the central pillars of the Reformation, that we must always know that God has gifted us differently, but calls us all to use those gifts for his work and his will. My gifts were important. Tom's gifts were. Lee's gifts were. Others were as well. We even had a treasurer that stood on the sidelines and said, "We've never had the money. This is all about faith." Ron Ressler. And we made it. But I want to spend the rest of my time talking not about those things like building buildings, but where does your heart lie in service to God? Where are you called to live out your life, making a difference in the world because of your faith? Not to garner more faith, not to garner more points, not to garner more crowns in your thorn. My God, my grandmother used to talk about people's crowns and their jewels in it. She thought she'd have one that was very heavy when she died. But this is the point. We don't do any of that for those jewels in our crown. We do it because of that one God that called and saved all of us, that feeds us all with the bread of life, that nurtures us all to get on and get by. We have been called. Now you may say, Paula, you're more comfortable up there. You can do that. Maybe I could do some of that other kind of committee stuff. I don't really have a calling from God. And I'm here to say, baloney, like you put on your bread. Baloney. God has called you for something. Maybe it's time in your life to consider what that might be. Up at Spirit in the Desert Retreat Center, that's the focus of our ministry now. I'm proud to serve on the board of directors up there. And the focus of our ministry is helping people identify their calling, their vocational calling, in the third chapter of life, which many of us find ourselves in. In that time in life when making a living and getting kids through college has moved on. And now we are left to determine what with our lives. I would tell you that my calling is as an evangelist. You know, if you got a big mouth, put it to use for God. There was a time when I thought my calling was to be a pastor. And there was an incident that got in the way. But it didn't get in the way of being able to live out my other calling. I'm a teacher as well. What's your calling? Have you ever spent any time thinking about what is my gift and what is my calling? Because let me tell you, we all have one. We've all been brought into this one great body of Christ, not to just sit here on Sunday and say, "Hallelujah, isn't it fun?" We are not here just to greet the people we haven't seen all summer as they come back. to say we have a nice service, nice communion, and then maybe a donut on our way out. That's not what it's about. And I'm not here to guilt anybody. This is a personal journey of exploration. But I'm telling you, until you take that journey, everything else in life is gonna seem harder. Until you find out your vocational calling. Maybe it's to be a great supporter of things that go on. God bless the late, great Art Lidman. Art spent so many years in a submarine, he couldn't speak unless he was yelling. And he would say, I can't do anything, but I can write a check. And he made sure not just to write the check to the church, he wrote it to the line item in the church. Thanks be to God, he always wrote it to our youth ministry, but anyway. Everybody has a gift, a calling, to support, to live out, to express, and even, wait for it, to let the world know that you believe. How would it be if the world knew each and every one of us believed? I remember Pastor Mark saying, I'm never going to ask you to stand on the corner with a leather Bible and scream, you know, Jesus loves you, unless, of course, you want to. And I thought, what a great image that was. But what if in the way you lived your life, the way you loved your family, the way you love your neighbor, people began to know that you love Jesus and Jesus loves you? See, we are called to speak the truth in love. It's what it says. I prefer to say we must speak the truth with love. For when we love our neighbor as ourselves, when we love the unlovable, the people with whom we occasionally disagree, there are no disagreements in the church, I know that, but out there, there may be. What if we speak truth with love to everyone so that they may know that wonderful old song? I didn't know Dennis and Connie were going to be here. But I wanted to close by telling you about one of the great leaders of our early church. Lloyd and Vivian Chapman. Lloyd and Vivian were there from the beginning. Lloyd flew every plane the Air Force ever made, lived all over the world. And Vivian and he were quite a dynamic force. He baked peanut butter cookies that the kids all remember every Sunday. But Lloyd's light faded. His body stayed strong, but his mind faded. And eventually he moved into a residential treatment center for people with dementia and Alzheimer's called the Barton House. Vivian asked me if I would go to the Barton House and do a Bible study. The activity director there thought that was a great idea. So I'm thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. I put myself together, I go in, and I do the Lazarus story just because it's animated and big. And most of them are sitting in the circle fairly... Yeah. But when I yell, Lazarus, come out! They all went... And we had a great time. And I would close after telling the story with a prayer, and then we'd sing a song. We would sing the song you learned in vacation Bible school or in preschool a long time ago. Those poor folks, thank goodness they couldn't remember how off-key I sing. Because when it was time to start singing, we would sing, Jesus loves me. And they would all perk up. The ones that had been asleep would raise their heads. The ones that still had verbal skills would sing. After a few weeks, even the Jewish man sang. I thought, that's okay. I'm pretty fond of a Jewish carpenter. So at the end, When I want you to remember how much you are loved and that you are called, you are fed and equipped to live out this vocation that God gave you, we close with this. So help me out. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You have been fed and equipped for this calling. Jesus, the bread of life, will strengthen you wherever you go. Always look to him to know where you belong next. Always safely in his arms. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Paula, for reminding us that God has given